Today we're going to talk about two key concepts that come up in Mussar, but they come up very much, not just in the Olam HaMussar, but they come up very much as a theme throughout the Torah and throughout all of Tanakh. So they're called the Midas HaYistaglus and Kabbalas HaAchrayas. So they're almost diametrically opposed to each other. Midas HaYistaglus means to get used to things, to rest on your laurels. You see the little comic, this little cartoon I placed on the front. It kind of summarizes this whole idea in a pretty beautiful way. You have this complacency barrier. You have these people who, if you see at the end of the road that they're on, there's a pot of gold. In the, if it was colored, if it was color printing, you would see it's a gold pot and it's all shiny. They stop right there. They're like, you know what? I think this is about as far as we need to get. And this is where and they're all lounging around, and this is where everything is in this week's Parsha and the theme we're going to talk about. On the opposite spectrum of that is Kabbalas HaAchrayas. Kabbalas HaAchrayas means to take responsibility for things, to step up to the plate, be willing to go above and beyond, be willing to stretch yourself and be willing to be that person who's going to take responsibility for things. So we're going to talk about it in a couple different ways. The first is in the aspect of Yaakov's death in this week's Parsha. Yaakov, in this week's Parsha, gives all of his children brachos, which are, some of them are not really, don't seem to be very much brachos, seem to be more curses. But the main idea is that he is on his deathbed, and he knows he's about to die, so he gives them all these brachos, these words, and then he dies. So before that, though, at the very beginning of this week's Parsha, if we read in the Pesukim, in Pesukim Chav Tester Lamed Aleph, this is the second through fourth Pesukim of this week's Parsha, he says, Vayikrivu Yimei Yisrael Lamus, he knows he's about to die. Vayikra Lev Noah Yosef, so he called his son Yosef, Vayomer Lo, Imnama Tzasichim Beinecha, if I have found favor in your eyes, Simna Yarcha Tachas Erechi, Vasisa Yimadi Chesed V'Yemes, do with me a Chesed Nemes, kindness and truth, make a Shvu with me, Al Nasip Reinu Mitzrayim. Do not bury me in Mitzrayim. V'shechavti ma'asai, I'll rest where my fathers are. U'nesani in Mitzrayim, you'll carry me out from Mitzrayim. U'kvartani b'kvur asam, you will bury me in the same burial place as them, namely Maras HaMachpelah. V'yomar anochi asekid v'recha. And Yosef says, I will do as you said. V'yomar hishavali, swear it to me. V'yishavalo, he swears to him. V'yishach Yisrael Rosh Mitan. And Yisrael Yaakov, he bows down to him afterwards. So then, later on in the sixth parsha, after Yaakov actually dies, after all the brachos are over, what does the pesukim say? Vayas banam lo kein kasher tzivam. His sons did as he asked, exactly as he commanded. Vayisu oso banav aretz Kanan. They carried him up to Eretz Kanan. Vayikru oso b'maras tzadei HaMachpelah. And they buried him in Maras HaMachpelah. Asher kana Avram esasada lachuz eskavar meis Efron Achiti al pnei Mamre. That Avram had been kona from Efron Achiti. Okay, sounds pretty good. Shvatim took an oath, said, Yaakov, we'll bury you, and they do it, right? So the Gemara Masechet Sotah says not so fast. It's a pretty famous Gemara. Leis Pidusha Misbeg Gadol V'Kavim Od, going on the Pasuk, a couple Pesukim later of Leis Pidusha Misbeg Gadol, they made a big hesped for him, there was a big eulogy, a big funeral, and all the people of Canaan saw it. The Pesukim talk about how the people of Canaan saw it and gave that whole hesped a name, and they could tell that it was a great person who had died based on the amount of people who had come to escort him. Then the Gemara says something fascinating. Kevan shehigiyu l'Maras HaMachpelah. Once they reached Maras HaMachpelah, Asa Esav kama Akiv. Esav came, and he was holding them up. And he said, Amar lehu, Mamre Kiras Arba Yechevron, this land of Kiras Arba Yechevron, Iyu kavar l'leah b'didei, Yaakov had already been, quote-unquote, mochel on his burial plot, on his portion. He gave it to Leah. He had already buried Leah there. The high defiish didihu, and that burial plot which is remaining, there's one more spot, that's mine. Yaakov, you're right, Yaakov had a right to be buried there, but he gave it up to Leah. So now, this next one is mine. Amr Leah, no, Zivinta, you sold it. That's what they told him. That's what Shvatim said back to him. Amr Lehu, Nihi Dizvini Bechirusa, no. I sold my Bechora. I sold the firstborn rights. Shitusa, Mizvini, did I sell my burial plot? Did I sell that? Where'd you get that from? Amrulay, in. Yeah, you did. Tichsev, the Kiryashir Karisi Li. The pasuk says, "In my burial plot, asher karisi li." Kares is a lashon of not just kares of cut off, like we know, but also karisi li, in the context of a get in Jewish divorce. The pasuk says, "V'kasa v'nasan la sefer krisus." A sefer krisus, and kares is like a document. Karisi li is like a document. There's two lashonos. There is a connection, not for now, but the pasuk says Yaakov said, "I acquired my burial plot. I mean, I have a document for it." So Amarlu, so they say back to him. Sorry, Esav says back to them. Exactly. Esav says back to them. Havuli Igarta. Okay, so bring me this document. Bring me this letter. Amrule, Igarta Ba'arda Mitzrayim. It's in Mitzrayim. Shoot, we have to go back and get it. Uman Nazel, who's gonna go back and get it? Nazel Naftali. Naftali should go. Dekalil ki Ayalasa, because he's swift like a deer. Dechsev Naftali Ayala Shlucha Hanosi Nimri Shafer. Fine. That's the story. Then the Gemara continues. Chushim Brei Didan, Tamar Hava. Dan had one child, His son, his name was Chushim. And Chushim was deaf. Chushim couldn't hear anything. V'yakirin le'udne, as the Gemara says. He had a heavy ear, meaning he could not hear anything. Amar lehu, my high. So he didn't realize what was going on. He just saw there was a big holdup, big commotion. He says, what's going on here? So somehow, I guess they signed it to him. However, they related to him. They said to him, "Come Akev, hi. Adasi Naftali Me'arad Mitzrayim. We have to wait here until Naftali comes back from Mitzrayim, so that we can show Esav the burial plot, and then that we own the burial plot, and then we can bury Yaakov."
How much time does it take to go up and back?
It's going to take a while. Even Naftali is supposed to be swift like a deer, right? Naftali is supposed to be super fast. So I don't know.
Weeks.
Correct. It could take a while. Could take, depends how fast his super speed was, but whatever it was going to take some time. Even a few hours, like for someone to be sitting Bibi Zion for his, certainly it seems like it would take more than a few hours to get to Mitzrayim and back.
It's a much bigger distance.
Correct. So that's the exact question. So that's what Chushim says. Amar lehu, va'ad da'asi naftali ma'ar de Mitzrayim, yehei avi ava mutal Bibi Zion. Until Naftali gets back from Mitzrayim, we're going to wait that long. And then my grandfather, Avi Abba, the father of my father, is going to be sitting Bibi Zion. He's going to be sitting, his body's being disgraced right now. It just sits out in the sun. Shakal Kulfa Mechaya Reshe. He took a big stick, a club, whatever, knocked off Esav's head, killed Esav, and they were able to bury Yaakov. So Rav Chaim Shmulevitz has a fascinating question that I don't think, after seeing this Gemara, I never thought of this question. How come no one else did that? How come it had to be Chushim ben Dan? What happened? The rest of the Shvatim weren't on a, like, they were the Shvatim. They were 12 of the holiest people ever to live. They knew Esav was a Rasha. They knew that Esav was wrong. How come only Chushim ben Dan stepped up? So Rav Chaim Shulavit says, it's all based on this din of Midas Eistaglis and Kabbalas Achrayis. What happened? The Shvatim let Esav start handling with them, start talking, giving a back and forth, and they got sucked into it. They had to prove that they were right. No, Esav, what are you telling us that we can't bury our father? We know we can. We know we're right. He has the burial plot. It's his. Don't tell us we can't. And they just got sucked into it. They went into back and forth all the way until they were like, you know what? The right thing to do is to send Naftali back and wait hours, days, weeks, whatever it's going to be, for him to get back. But Chushim ben Dan, he didn't hear any of it. He didn't let himself get sucked in. And the second he realized what was going on, this is objectively wrong. He's able to look at it from a bird's eye view, from an outsider perspective, and able to see this is objectively wrong and step up to the plate right away. The Shvatim got sucked into this Midas HaYistaglis. They got sucked into this getting used to things, letting yourself get complacent in where you're at. The Shvatim knew, we're right. Similar to our cartoon. We're going to keep going back to this. Our cartoon. They know they're on the right path. They know they're right there. They know they've done very well. So like, you know what? I think it's about as far as we need to get for now. We're good for now. You know, we'll finish the job later. We'll get there later. Chushim ben Dan says, no, we got a ways to go. We still got to get there.
I know it's not really your topic, but why is that the correct response to someone who is preventing a bear?
Ah, that is a great question.
It's murder.
Correct. It is a great question. I can't say I have the answer off the top of my head. I've heard answers. I don't remember all of them. It is a great question. We're gonna leave that aside for now, but it's definitely a question that gets asked. It does seem though that Chazal assumed that he did the right thing. Why it was the right thing? That's definitely a different topic and something to explore. There's a similar din when it comes to entering the Beis HaMikdash. The din was that you would enter in one gate, you would enter through the Shar HaMizrach, and you exit out the Shar HaMa'arav. You'd enter in the eastern gate, and you would leave out the western gate. What does the Gemara say? What's the reason for the din? It's the exact same thing we're saying now. If you get too used to walking into one gate, walking out of another gate, it becomes like your front door. It becomes like your house. It just becomes another place. When you have to enter in one, exit out the other, so that every time you come to the Beis HaMikdash, the gate is a new gate. Every time it's a hischadshus, you're not seeing the same gate twice in one day. There's a hischadshus there. We don't want people to get used to the Beis HaMikdash, which is like crazy to think about. It's an unbelievable pella. Like, how could we get used to the Beis HaMikdash? But we see that's what happened in Jewish history. And that's the din that the Gemara tries to tell us. The Gemara says, we cannot let ourselves get used to these things. We cannot let ourselves get accustomed to having a Beis HaMikdash. It's not something to take for granted. So that's the din. We have to always be going in one gate and exiting out the opposite gate. So that way, every time it's new, every time it's fresh. Another comparison we can make, we have Sarah and Avram. This Rav Chaim Shulamitz brings down also. He says that Avram and Sarah had two different responses when they hear about a Kedesh Yitzchak. Avram gets up and he does it and he's excited with joy. Sarah passes away right away. So Rav Chaim Shulamitz asks, Sarah was a greater Nevi'ah than Avram was a Navi. Sarah was on a greater level than Avram. That's what Chazal tell us in multiple places. You're going to tell me Sarah wasn't as righteous as Avram? She couldn't handle the news. She wouldn't be overjoyed at this mitzvah. So Rav Chaim Shulamitz answers, there's a big difference. It's how they were presented. Avram, the pasuk says, that Hashem says to Avram, "Kachna es bincha, es yichidcha, asher ahavta, es yitzchak." Take your son, which then Avram says, "I have two sons. Yichidcha, your only son, while each is their own to their mother. Asher ahavta, well, I love both. So don't tell me I only love one. Es yitzchak." Hashem eases him into it. Hashem lets him go lot. Avram already knew, right, that it was going to be Yitzchak. That's what Chazal tell us, that Avram already knew it was going to be Yitzchak. But Hashem gave him a little bit of time to kind of skirt around the issue until he had to actually get to the issue. He had a little bit of time to get used to it. This is an aspect of Midas HaStaglus being a good thing. Sometimes we need time to let the news sink in. We need a little bit of time to get used to things. But Sarah, on the other hand, the Malach HaMamas comes to her and says, Avram is bringing Yitzchak up as a sacrifice. Boom. That was it. There was nothing she could do. Like, she just got all the news, hit it to her at once. She didn't have that time. So that's another comparison we can make.
Did Sarah die 2 weeks later or whatever when Avraham came back to Beersheba and told her?
There's a couple of opinions. One opinion is that Avram was not back yet and that the Malach HaMavos came to her and told her that Avram actually killed Yitzchak. And that was enough to give her a shock and that she died. The other opinion was that the Malach HaMavos told her that Avram was going to kill Yitzchak. He was going to do the big mitzvah and do what Hashem wanted, and then he didn't. And Sarah got so upset from hearing that Avram did not fulfill the mitzvah that she died. Either way, though, the news came to her in an instant. There was no anything to give her any warning. There was no easing her into it. Okay, so that's part one. This is all the idea of letting yourself get complacent, and we're going to see it a couple more times throughout. We want to focus on the positive of it, the flip side. I titled the pros of being proactive. So the pasuk tells us in this week's parsha, Yehuda, as we all know, Yehuda's bracha is to be the king. to be the leader of the Shvatim. Yehuda ati yuducha achecha. Your brothers are going to be moda to you. They are going to be subservient to you. Your hand will be at the neck of your enemies, and your father's children, your brothers, are all going to bow down to you. You're going to be king. And Gorari Yehuda, you're going to be like a lion. Lo yas or shevim Yehuda, that says in Pasuk Yod, that the scepter, article translated as a scepter, even if you want to translate it as a shevet, a tribe, either way, the scepter or all the tribes are all going to be under you. They're not going to leave you. So you, Yehuda, are going to be the king. So the Tosefta, Maseches Brachos, this comes up in a couple different places in Chazal. The Tosefta says that Rabbi Akiva taught his Talmidim. He taught four of his Talmidim. He said, Mipnei ma zach Yehuda l'malchus. Why was Yehuda zocha for Malchus? What did we see about Yehuda that makes him ra'oi to be the king? All we see from Yehuda in the Pesukim are three things. Let's just give a basic overview of what we've seen from Yehuda. We saw that he was the one who sold Yosef into slavery. It was his idea. Number two, we saw that he had the whole story with Tamar. And we saw that he was the one who took responsibility for Binyamin when they came back to Yosef a second time and the whole silver cup. Yosef planted the silver cup in Binyamin's bag. He was going to take Binyamin as a slave. And Yehuda said, don't do it. I'll take his place. Those are the three things we've seen from Yehuda. So the Gemara asks, or the Tosefta asks, so where does the kingship come from? What did he do? So a few different answers. Rabbi Yehuda asks his Talmidim. He has five very famous, very great Talmidim, and he asks them, why did Yehuda get Malchus? So one answer that they give is, Mibnei Shehoda B'Tamar. That's the answer Rabbi Akiva gives. He was Moda in the story of Tamar, right? The story of Tamar is that he gives her his ring, his staff, and his cloak until he pays her for her services. But he never finds her again because she obviously wasn't a prostitute or anything like that. She was just trying to fulfill a mitzvah. She had Ruach Kodesh, however you want to answer, how she knew that she was supposed to have children with Yehuda. But when they find out Tamar's pregnant, they tell Yehuda, and Yehuda is the head of the Beis Din, and Yehuda says, oh, she acted as a prostitute because he doesn't know it was her. So he says, kill her, burn her. And then Tamar says, Lemi Asherheim. I don't remember the exact lashon of the pasuk, the exact language, but whoever these things are that were given to me, the staff, the ring, and the cloak, that's who the father is. Now, no one else knows besides for Yehuda, right? Yehuda's the only one who realizes what they are. He could have said nothing. Could have said, I don't know who those are. Do you guys know? Do you know? I don't know. Not familiar. Could have let her burn at the stake instead of suffering the great embarrassment of being the one who slept with the prostitute. But Yehuda said, no. Son, come in many. She's right. I'm wrong. They're mine. It was totally my mistake. So the fact that he was able to be Moda, he was able to admit his mistake, was the reason he was Zoche L'Malchus. That's one answer given. So we're going to come back to that Mida, the exact Mida, in a few minutes. It's a very important thing to keep in mind. It's going to be a big contrast we're going to see in a few minutes. And then his Talmidim. So that was Rabbi Akiva's answer. His Talmidim then added on. So what does this mean? Amar lahem v'chinosnin schar ala averos. Ah. But wait one second. So they added in this pasuk of these people who are chacham yagidu, chachamim, they tell over what they've done, they tell over their mistakes, they want to be motive, they don't hide, they don't deny it. Ah, so they add on that pasuk. And Rabbi Kiva says back to them, hold on, I don't like my answer very much. Let's take it back, actually. Do we give schar to people for doing averos? Yehuda, what he did in any other context is an avera, a big avera. He gets schar for that. He gets the malchus because he did an avera and then was willing to walk it back. So we're going to see. We're going to talk about that in a few minutes, like I said. But I don't understand. That can't be. That can't be it. It can't just be that. Ella, I'm going to try again, Rabbi Kiva says. V'pnei ma azach Yehuda l'malchus, m'nei shehitzel az achav min amisa, as achiv min amisa. Why did the Yehuda get the malchus? Why did he get the kingship? Because he saved his brother from Misa. Why? Because the brother said, we're going to kill him. And then Yehuda said, v'nei Yehuda alechav ma betza ki... I have the pasuk written down. Ma betza ki naro gachinim chisinu es damo. How is this going to help us if we kill him and we hide his blood? Let's sell him instead. So that doesn't seem like such a good answer either, right? So he's gonna reject this also. He says, Amar lehem, da'ala tell shet chaper al mechira. So the fact that he saved them from death, so great, he saved Yosef from death. So that's enough to be mechaper on the whole selling your brother down to Egypt for 20 years and lying to your father. That's so great. Wow, good for you. You didn't kill him. What does that mean? Ella, let's try again. Mipnei ma azach Yehuda l'malchus. Amrulo, they said, we have a different answer. Mipnei ha'anava. He had humility. He was so humble. Shenemar, yeshiv na'ad chotach asenar. Because he called himself, he said, you know what? I don't care. Binyamin's my youngest brother. And I might be Yehuda. I might be so great. But I don't care. I will go into slavery. I will be your servant forever, Yosef. He obviously doesn't know it's Yosef yet, but don't take Binyamin. That's Zanava. He calls himself your servant. He says it many times throughout Miketz and Vayigash. He says, your servant, your servant. He calls himself that. He's an Anav. And Shaul, lo zachal malchus el mipnei Anava. And also Shaul was such an Anav. Shaul got the malchus because of Anava. So that's a good raya. It's a good proof that Yehuda also got the malchus because of Anava. Amar lahem, he says back to them after the dots. I skip down from the psukim. They like to quote a lot of psukim. That's where all the dots come in. Amar lahem, he said back to them. Velo arevu, he is an arev. He is a co-signer, a co-guarantor. He told Yaakov, I guarantee I will bring Binyamin back. He was just doing what he said he would do. Why is he? That's not so great either. Vesofo shel arev, the end of an arev, the end of a guarantor. Latzes ide arvuso. An arev, a co-signer, a guarantor, just has to fulfill his end of the bargain. That's literally what he's supposed to do. So why are you telling me he gets so much schar for that? Ella, this is going to be the last answer, and it's going to all tie in together. Ella, b'nei ma zach Yehuda l'malchus? Why was Yehuda zoch l'malchus? So Amr Lo, they said, Rebbe, enough games. Why don't you just tell us? Amr Lo, yilam dinu rabinu. Tell us. Don't, stop having us guess. Amar lahem, b'pnei shekidesh shmo shel HaKadosh Baruch Hu al hayam. Because he was the one who was mekadesh shem shemayim, who was mekadesh Hashem's name, al hayam, on the sea. Kishabau shvatim v'amdu al hayam. When they came to the Yamsuf, right? The Mitzrayim are chasing them, and they think they're about to die, and they get to the Yamsuf, and they're like, oh my God, there's nothing to do now. We're trapped, right? The sea is one end, and the Mitzrayim are behind us. Where are we going to go? We've got nowhere to run, nowhere to hide. So, the Medrash tells us that when the Shvatim all got to the Yamsuf, Zeh Omer Ani Ered, Zeh Omer Ani Ered, they were all fighting with each other. No, I'm going to go in first. I'm going to go in first. They all knew they had to go in, and they all knew they were going to. They knew Hashem was going to save them. Hashem just said, someone go in first. Once you go in, then you'll be saved. So they were all like, I want to go first, I want to go first. I want to be Zocha to this great, great opportunity. Kafat Shiptel Yishel Yehuda V'yar Tchila. We know Nachshon Ben Aminadav. He just jumped in. No questions asked. No handling, no hacking, no talking, no anything. Exactly like what we just saw in the case of the Shvatim bearing Yaakov. They didn't say, I want to go first. Well, you know, I'm Reuven, so I'm really the Bechor. Well, I'm Yosef, and I was Yaakov's favorite. Well, I'm Binyamin, and Yaakov thought Yosef was dead, and Binyamin, I know Shaul's going to come for me. And, we're not doing that. Yehuda just says, I don't understand. Just go. Just do it. Jumps in. Well, also show Omer. This is where the pasuk from Hal comes in. Haisa Yehuda l'kadsho, meaning Yehuda Kidei Shemo Shel HaKadosh Baruch Hu, right? Yehuda was the one. Haisa Yehuda L'Kadshu. So Yehuda was the one L'Kadshu to be Mekadei Hashem. So Yehuda Kidei Shemo Shel HaKadosh Baruch Hu Alayam L'Fichach. The end of the pasuk is Yisrael Mam Shelosav. Ha'isi Yehuda l'kotra Yisrael mam shalosav. Yehuda was mekadashim shemayim. So Yisrael, the rest of Yisrael, mam shalosav, are subservient to him, are his subjects. Thank you. Exactly. No more hacking, no more handling, no more just do it. That was the idea of Yehuda. What we see is that the other answers, Rabbi Akiva rejects them, and we say that those aren't the correct answers, but there's still answers given. There's always in a Gemara, there's always a Hava Mina. And all the Rishonim and Achronim, all the Mefarshim on any Gemara always say, why did they have a Hava Mina? What's, you know, they weren't stupid. They had a reason for thinking what they thought. These are some of the greatest people to ever live. Some of the greatest tonight, Rabbi Akiva's students. He had the five, after his, all the students died during Sfira, as we know. He had five students after that, and they became the future of Klal Yisrael, and they became some of the greatest tonight ever. So they all had all these ideas. So we're going to talk about, what we're going to focus on, aside for this obviously last idea, which relates exactly to what we've been talking about, which is the ultimate answer of Yehuda being Kafatz V'yarad Eliyam. Yehuda was willing to just go, just do it, without any second thought, without any letting himself get used to it. But we also see that Yehuda was Hoda B'tamar. Yehuda was the one who was willing to be Moda, to admit when he was wrong. We see that Yehuda did save his brother in a way. He saved his brother. It is still better, right? Obviously, it wasn't a reason to be Zochel and Malchus, but it was still a better thing that he did. And he was willing to step up and say, don't kill him. And he was willing to also be the one to say, he was willing to be the guarantor in the first place, to be the one to co-sign on Binyamin's return in the first place. He was the one to always take responsibility and step up for others. So see, another example of this is actually in the Gemara in Sanhedrin. There is a character in Tanakh that does not get very much attention, slash almost none at all. His name was Paltiel. But his name was also Palti. And that's what the Gemara in Sanhedrin asks. This is on page three, the third page. This is source three on the page. The Masechta Sanhedrin, Daf Yud Tes Mabez, through Chaf Amud Aleph. The Gemara tells us, Ksiv Palti, Ksiv Paltiel. It says both in Tanakh. So who was Palti, slash Paltiel? Who was he? When Shaul got very mad at David, because Shaul thought and was right that David was going to take over his kingship from him, but Shaul got very jealous and very upset and tried to kill him many times. So he also took his daughter Michal and he gave her to Palti slash Paltiel. And he said, you know what? I'm annulling this marriage to David. She's not going to be married to David. She's rather going to be married to you. But Palti knew that that was wrong. Paltiel was a big tzaddik and he knew Michal was supposed to be David's wife. Slash, she was already betrothed. I don't remember if they were either betrothed or married. So already she was usher to him. They could never be married unless David actually divorced her. But if David wasn't there and they didn't agree to the divorce, David and Michal didn't do it. It was all Shaul's doing. So then it's not a real divorce. So Paltiel knew he couldn't marry her. But Shaul just said, here, you're going to marry. So he can't like say Shaul no. So they moved in together. They had a house together. So his name was Palti, but Rabbi Yochanan says, I'm Rabbi Yochanan, V'loma nikra shmo Paltiel. Why was his name called Paltiel? So Rabbi Yochanan answers, Shepoltu kel min havera, that Hashem was pulling him, threw him away from an avera. Ma'asa, why, what happened? Na'atz chera beino levena. He put a sword between him and Michal on their bed. He put a giant sword, stuck it into the bed. And he said, Amar, kola osik b'darazeh, yid kar b'charazeh. If we do anything, yid kar b'charazeh, you should be stabbed by this sword. Amar Rabbi Yochanan. And Rabbi Yochanan says even further, Tokvo shel Yosef. Yosef, we know with Ashes Potiphar. Yosef had to run away from that aver with Ashes Potiphar. That is on the Sanusa shel Boaz. That's the humility of Boaz. Boaz had a temptation with Rus, right? Rus comes and comes into his, based on the advice of her mother-in-law, Naomi, and this was all meant part of God's plan, but she came into Boaz's bed, or laid by the foot of his bed for a whole night, and it was just there. And Boaz and her obviously didn't do anything. So that is even greater than Yosef running away from Eishes Potiphar. But Tokvo shel Boaz, but Boaz doing that, an misanusa shel Palti ben Lish. That is nothing. That's the humility of Palti. That is nothing compared to what Palti did. Ma'i dechsev, what's the pasuk? Rabos banos asu chayel ve'at alis al kulana. Rabos banos asu chayel ze Yosef and Boaz. Many daughters have done great things. That's Yosef and Boaz. Ve'at alis al kulana ze Palti ben Lish. But you have exalted yourself. You have gone greater than the rest of them. That's Palti ben Lish. That's what the Gemara tells us. Because Palti ben Lish lived for years in the same house, in the same bed as Michal Ba'a Shaul, and not once did they ever sleep together, not once did anything ever happen. He stuck a sword in there, and he said, nothing is going to happen. Anyone who does anything, they are going to be stabbed by the sword. So now, the Gemara tells us that Paltu Kel, Minavera, it wasn't him, it was Hashem who did it. So the answer brought down, seen in multiple places, is that it was a miracle from Hashem because of the action that Palti did at the beginning. Palti stuck a sword at the beginning. When they first moved in together, the first night, Palti said, okay, we're sticking a sword here, nothing's going to happen. Now, the sword's in the middle. They could have both moved to one side, moved to the other side. They could have moved to a different room. They could have, if they wanted to do anything, they could have gone anywhere. What is the significance of it being there? The significance of it being there is that he stuck it in the first place. And it was a constant reminder to him, for him to remember his initial vigor and his initial denial of anything that was happening, his initial adherence to the law of the Torah, his initial thoughts of, I'm never going to sin with her. He had that sword in there, and that was always his reminder forever for him to always do what was right. And because he set that reminder for himself in the first place, Hashem said, you know what? You are ra'oy for a miracle. I'm going to set a miracle for you that I'm going to help you. I am going to be one guiding the two of you and make sure that you never mess up. Because you did that in the first place, because you were willing to step up right away. You never, ever, ever let yourself fall into that complacency, and you stepped up right away. Therefore, I'm going to help you. We're going to talk about two more examples of this and the crazy ramifications of both instances where this comes up, and then we'll summarize. The Medrash Tanchuma on Parshas Bereishis, Mamish, we're going all the way back. Very beginning of the Sefer Bereishis. In Parshas Bereishis, we have the story of Cain and Hevel. Right? Cain kills Hevel. Hashem comes to Cain and he says, where's your brother? Cain says, Lo yadati, Hashem ra'achi anochi. I don't know. Am I my brother's keeper? So, Medrash Tanchuma says, what's going on? Cain's not an idiot. Same way when Adam and Chava tried to hide from Hashem after they ate from Eitz Hadas. They weren't actually like hiding from God. You can't hide. No one thinks that. God's talking to him right now. Like, he's not an idiot. He's on a pretty high level for God to talk to him. He's got something that God talks to him. And he knows God is there. So what's happening? That he's going to try and say, Lo yadati Hashem ra'achi anochi? Hashem knows. Hashem was there. Hashem saw everything. So what was he really saying to him? He says, Ata hu shomer kol habrios. Hashem, it's on you. You, when he says shomer achi anochi, he's saying, am I my brother's watcher? No. You, Hashem, you're shomer Yisrael, right? You are the guarder of the whole world. You are shomer kol habrios. The atam of Akshom Yadi, you wanted me to kill him. You wanted him from you. You wanted him back up with you in heaven. Mashal Madar Domeh. We'll skip actually this mashal. This is a case of a ganav, but okay. V'achshav ata omer likach. Now you're going to say this to me. V'af kain kach amar. Kain is also saying this. Ani haragti oso. Yeah, you're right. I killed him. But Hashem, barasa bi yitzer hara. You put a yitzer hara on me. If you didn't put a yitzer hara on me, I never would have killed him. You're the shomer kol habrios. You're watching everything. You could have stopped it. It was you who wanted him back in heaven with you. You wanted him to be killed. It was Ratzon Hashem, right? Everything that happened is Ratzon Hashem. Don't blame me for anything. I'm just a pawn. I didn't do anything. You put in me Yetzir Hara also. If you didn't put a Yetzir Hara on me, I wanted to kill them. At the Shomer Hazakol, you are Shomer Hazakol. Vili Hanachta osel hargo. And it was just to me that you left Hevel to kill. It was like my, I was a pawn. It was my job. It's what you put me in this world to do. It was my tafkid in this world. Why are you blaming me? Ata hu sharagto. Hashem, you are the one who killed him.
But don't people have free will?
Yes, 100%. And that's Hashem's, that's exactly what Hashem's going to say to him.
Or not to do.
That's exactly what, that's exactly the point. Kain is totally wrong in this response. This is all Kain, this is all just explaining why Kain would say the words of Lo yedati Hashem arachi anochi, because Kain wasn't stupid. But Hashem is not, it's not an acquittal, it's not a good defense. Hashem is not saying, oh, you're right. No, you're right. Making a good point. You're right, you're off the hook. You can go. Hashem punishes him very severely. Kain says one more thing. He says also, She'ilu kabalta karbani kamoso, lo yisi miskanebo. Also Hashem, it's also your fault because I would never become jealous of him if you hadn't accepted his carbon in the first place and ignored mine. You know what? You could have accepted both of our carbonos or just not accepted either of our carbonos. I would never have been jealous of him and I never would have killed him. Isn't that a little ridiculous? Like, we get jealous of people. Do we just start killing everyone we get jealous of? Like, it's a almost ridiculous, ludicrous statement. Obviously, it's hard to say about someone in the Torah, and it's hard to say about exactly everything that's happening, but that's what Kain tries to say. This is all of his claims to Hashem. Hashem says, that's not a claim. Number one, Hashem had already said to Kain before, if we remember back, Hevel's carbon is accepted, and Kain, the pasuk says, Kain is very upset. But nothing happens yet. Hashem comes to Kain then, and Hashem just says, Kain, just do a little better. Just give me a little bit of a better carbon. Try a little harder. Don't give me your mediocre stuff. Give me the best of the best like Hevel did. And then I'll accept your carbon too. That's all you got to do. Halom teitiv seis. If you just give a little more, give a little better, then we'll be all good. And then Kain just totally ignores that, goes out to Hevel. He goes to speak with him in the field, and then he kills him. Kain is trying to deny everything and say, I'm good where I was. I took the initiative. I brought a carbon. I can be complacent. I can say, I did all these things right. I was working the field well. I brought so much produce to the world. I was the first one to bring the carbon. Hevel just copied me. Hashem, I'm good where I am. It's you who messed me up. You made me jealous. You made a Yetzer Hara in me. It was all your fault. It was all your rutzon. I'm just a pawn. Hashem says, Kain, it's not how this works. Take responsibility. Accept responsibility for what you did. And so that's what Kain's punishment is. He then has to wander for the rest of his life, all across the world. Why? Because he can never take responsibility for himself. Everyone always has to take responsibility for him. Right? Hashem says, you're going to wander, and the earth is never going to give you any produce. You're never going to be successful in your farming ever again. Everyone else, you're going to have to be dependent on everyone else. The same way you're trying to claim to me that everything's dependent on me, there you go. You're going to be dependent on everyone else. Everyone's going to have to take responsibility for you. You won't take responsibility for yourself. You won't be a grown-up. You won't take responsibility for what you did. Fine. That's how we'll do it. Everyone else is going to take responsibility for you. Last example we're going to give, and this is the big contrast I was alluding to earlier. There's a striking difference between King Shaul HaMelech, and David HaMelech. What happens? Shaul sins twice that we see in Nach. And David sins, obviously there are more than that, but there's one major sin of David and two major sins of Shaul. Shaul loses his Malchus for his two sins, and David does not lose his Malchus for his one sin. What's the key difference? Key difference is like this. Shaul's first sin is that there's a big war with the Plishtim. They've been having ongoing wars every bunch of years. The Plishtim attack, they invade, they have to repel the Plishtim, they have to fight them. So it's another time. They know the Plishtim, they see the Plishtim are starting to camp right by Israel. They're about to come in and attack. So they come to Shmuel Hanavi, and they say, Shmuel, we got to do something. What are we going to do? So Shmuel says, in 7 days, on the seventh day from now, in a week, we're going to bring up a bunch of olos to Hashem. We're going to bring up a bunch of karbanos to Hashem. And Hashem will then help you and save you from the Plishtim. So the Pasuk says, Pasuk Ches over here, Vayochal Shivas Yamim, the 7 days started and they were basically completed. Lamoed Asher Shmuel, to the date, to the time that Shmuel said, Velo Ba Shmuel HaGilgal. And Shmuel did not come to Gilgal. So the nation started to scatter. They started to run away from Shaul. They were like, Shmuel's not coming. What are we going to do? We're not bringing the Olos to Hashem. Hashem's not going to save us. So Ve'er Shaul. Shaul said, no, come back. Hagishu Eli, come back to me. Come close to me. Like by Yigash, to come close. Hagishu Eli. Ho'ala Shlamim. Bring the Ola and Shlamim. Vayala Ola. And we'll bring the Ola now. Bring everything to me. We'll bring it now. Don't leave. We're going to be okay. Vayik Chalos Ola, Losa Ola. And then as they finish bringing the Olos and Shlamim, V'hine Shmuel ba, and now Shmuel comes, V'yitza Shaul l'krasu l'varcho, and Shaul goes out to greet him and to bless him. V'yomer Shmuel, and Shmuel says to Shaul, Me'asisa, what have you done? Why did you do this? V'yomer Shaul, well, Shaul said, Ki re'isi, I saw, ki nafata'am me'alai, that the nation was starting to scatter, they're starting to run away from me, they were going to disperse. V'yatelo basel amo adayam, and plishtim nazav mikmash. And you hadn't come at the time, he said, and the plishtim, they're gathered at Michmash. They're gonna come attack us. Vomar, and I said, Ata yer du plishtim elai. The plishtim are gonna come down to me. Ha Gilgal into Gilgal. Pnei Hashem lo chilisi. And I never saw the face of Hashem. I never appeased God's face. Meaning, I never brought him his karbanos. They're gonna come down before I had the chance to bring my karbanos and to offer my sacrifices and daven to Hashem. Vesapak vala ola. So I was like, I gotta bring the ola now. Veomer Shmuel Shaul. Shmuel said to Shaul, Niskalta, you have tripped up, you have messed up. Lo shemar des mitzvot Hashem Elokecha, you have not guarded the mitzvot of Hashem, asher tzivach, that he commanded you. Ki ata hekan Hashem es mamlachta el Yisrael ad olam. Because until now, Hashem had actually been preparing your kingship to be ad olam. V'ata mamlachtecha lo sakum. Now that you've messed up, your kingship will not last. B'kish Hashem lo ish kilavo. Hashem is searching out for him. Hashem wants someone who is kilvavo, who is like his heart, meaning who's going to walk in Hashem's ways. And Hashem is going to command him to be the leader of the nation. Because you have not fulfilled what Hashem said. One more story of Shaul, second sin. What happens? This is now the more famous story of Shaul messing up. Shaul with Amalek. Shaul and the nation had mercy on Agag, the king of Amalek, Valmeta, Vatzon, Valbakar, and on the good flock, Valmishnim, Valakarim, and all their possessions, all of the stuff that they had, Valkolato, Vlo Abu Acharimam, and they did not destroy everything, which Hashem had commanded them to do. And they took everything. And now they come back from the battle. So they won the battle. They kept Agag alive. And they took a bunch of the spoils. But they won the battle. They killed everyone else. They destroyed everything else. But they took all the spoils, which they weren't supposed to do, and they kept Agag alive, the king. And this is where Haman Ha'agagi comes from. Haman comes from Agag, from Amalek. Ve'evok Shmuel al-Shaul. Shmuel comes to Shaul. Ve'erim relo Shaul, and Shaul said to Shmuel, Baruch Ata Hashem, bless you to God, Hakimosi is to Baruch Hashem. I fulfilled God's word. Ve'erim Shmuel, and Shmuel says back to him, Umeh kol atzon hazeh, Bazni. What is this I'm hearing? Why do I hear the sheep? Why do I hear the sound of flock? The kol habakar and the sound of the cattle. Asher nochi shomea. Ve'omer Shaul. Shaul still doesn't realize his mistake. That was supposed to be like a way of saying, hello, I hear all the sound of the animals and you weren't supposed to keep them alive. Shaul says, oh yeah, me Amalek yevim. We brought them from Amalek. Asher chamal am al meitav atzon, because of the nation we had mercy on meitav atzon, v'habakar, l'man zivach l'shem l'kecha, so that we can sacrifice it to Hashem. We had good intentions. We want to bring it to Hashem. But we destroyed everything else. Ve'omer Shmuel. Shmuel says, Halo im katon ata be'necha, rosh shifte Yisrael ata. Some of the best moser in all of Nach. Shaul. We mentioned this before. Shaul, super duper humble. When he first found out he was going to be the king, he didn't want it. He said, you got the wrong guy. Then at his coronation ceremony, he tries to hide in like a wagon with a bunch of all the kalim that they had there so that no one could find him, so they wouldn't be able to anoint him. He was super humble. He never wanted the kingship in the first place. Even when he was king, he never took anything for himself. He was a big tzaddik. But Shmuel says to him, Halom katon ata beinecha. You might be so small in your own eyes. You might be such an anav, such a humble person. Ro shivtei Yisrael ata. You are the head of the shivtei Yisrael. You are the king. A king cannot be so humble. What did we just say in Pasuk? Yod Gimel. Sorry. Messed up again. Tezvav. In Tezvav. Shaul said, Me Amalek Yavim, Asher Cham Al Am Al Meit Avatzon. The nation had some mercy on the cattle. The nation wanted to bring it back, so I didn't stop them. So his next pasuk is, Shmuel says, Halom Katzon Atam Enech Rosh Yiftei Yisrael Ata. You are the king. The king cannot be subservient to everything that people say. Every whim, every person gets a toothache, every person gets this, and every person wants that. So you have to, like, obviously try to do what's best for all the people. But sometimes one person needs this and one person needs this, and they're going to be opposites. You're going to have to decide what's best for the people. What are you doing? Like, just because the nation said that they want some of the cattle, Hashem said to destroy everything. If Hashem wants you to destroy everything, you destroy everything. Hashem made you the king of Israel. How come you didn't listen to Hashem? You did bad and you kept all the spoils. Shaul still doesn't get it. No. I did listen to Hashem. I went on the path that Hashem sent me. And I brought Og Melech Amalek back as a captive, as Amalek, but Amalek I destroyed. And it was just the nation. They just wanted it. They wanted it really badly. And I didn't do it. The nation took it. The nation took the spoils. And they wanted to do it so that they could bring sacrifice to Hashem. What could be so wrong with that? So Shmuel says, does Hashem want your offerings? Or does he want you to listen to him? This comes up multiple times in Nach. The Nevi'im say, right, Hashem says, I don't want your useless, empty offerings. I want you to listen to my word. I want you to do what's right. So Hashem doesn't want any of this. Why are you keep trying to tell me that you did it L'shem Shemayim and you followed everything Hashem said and it's L'zavah, you're bringing it to bring sacrifice to Hashem? I don't understand. Hashem doesn't want that. If Hashem wants that, he would tell you. Hashem wanted you to destroy everything. Don't tell me that you're doing this all for Hashem. So then, Ve'yomer Shaul El Shmuel. If you read Pasuk of Dala, this is the key Pasuk. Chatasi ki avartis pi Hashem. You're right, I sinned. I didn't listen to Hashem's word. Vestavarach, I didn't listen to your word. Ki yoresi asa'am veshma b'kolam. But then he goes back to it a third time. In his apology, in my, I'm so sorry, I messed up. I was scared of the nation, it was the nation. Deflect. It wasn't me. Deflect. It was the nation. I was scared. You know I'm super humble. That's not the point. You are a king. You have God's word to fulfill. You cannot be humble. And you cannot deflect. And you cannot say it's all their fault. You cannot push the responsibility. Take the responsibility now. This was meant for you. And this was going to be Shaul's kapara, actually. If he took the responsibility. Because I'll tell us, Shaul might have actually still had a chance at maintaining his kingship. And he lost it. Because he would not do it. The exact contrast to this is Shmuel Beis, Perek Yud Beis. In Shmuel Beis, David, with his one sin with Bathsheba, his one big sin. And so Nasan gives him a mashal. Nasan says, you've got a really rich guy and a poor guy. And this poor guy only has one really good sheep. That's his whole parnasa. He gets all of his wool from it. He gets milk from it. He gets everything from it. What would you say if the rich guy goes and steals the poor guy's one sheep that he has and takes it back with him and never pays him back and leaves the poor guy to die? So the din is, we kill him. That's what David tells Nasan when Nasan comes to rebuke him. That was just the mashal Nasan gave to frame it. And Nasan says, Ve'omer Nasan al David, Ata ha'ish, you are that man. Ko amar Hashem al Kisrael. Hashem said, Anochi mishachtich l'melech l'isov, Anochi yitzaltich l'miyad Shaul. I made you the king and I saved you from Shaul. And look what you just did with that. You went as a king, and you took Bathsheba from this man. This man is a regular guy. All he's got is his wife. You sent him to the front lines to die, off in battle, and you take his wife because you wanted to. What kind of person does that? You're that rich guy who goes, takes the one thing the guy has, one thing the guy loves, sends him off to die, rips it away from him. So the next few psukim, I skipped a few psukim, so don't think that those few psukim are the same as Shaul making excuses and saying, next few psukim are just Nasan continuing in his rebuke of his explanation of the mashal and his continued rebuke of David. First pasuk that David says back, Ve'yomer David el Nasan, Chatasi l'Hashem, I sinned to God. And what is Nasan's immediate response? Ve'omer Nasan al David, Gam Hashem hever chataska lo samos. Thank you for admitting it. You're right. You're doing tshuva. So David's first son with Bathsheba dies. That's one of his punishments. David's not allowed to build the Beis Hamikdash. David gets punished. He doesn't just get off scot-free. But you will not die. You will get to live the full 70 years of your life. And the kingship stays with David. It's the exact opposite of Shaul. Shaul, deflect, not my fault. Too much humility, which is a beautiful thing. Humility is a beautiful thing, and Shaul is a big tzaddik. But in some instances, you can't have that humility. David says, it's my fault. We see this last makor. We'll finish with this. The Mishnah Maseches Avos tells us that one of Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai's five talmidim, his name is Rabbi Shimon, one of the great Tanaim. And he said, Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai asked them, what is a derech ra'ah? What is a bad habit that a person should distance himself from? She's rachik gumena adam, a person should distance himself from. Rabbi Shimon Omer, halova ve'enu mishalim, someone who borrows and does not pay. The Mefarshim tell us, what's pshat? What's pshat with not paying back a loan? That's like the worst thing a person can do. Don't get me wrong, it's not nice. It's stealing. It's not good. They say it's indicative of a greater mida, a much worse mida. Someone who takes a chov, takes a obligation on himself, takes a loan. He has a chov now to pay back that loan. You take that responsibility for the loan and you don't pay it back. That is someone who does not take responsibility for anything. That is someone who deflects and gets rid of any achrayas, any chov he has on himself. He will never, ever take responsibility for those things. And that's what Rabbi Shimon says. That is a mida ra'a that everyone has to distance themselves from. Anyone who's going to be porik ol from themselves, they're going to just throw off any yoke of responsibility they have. They're going to take a loan and not pay it back. They're going to get rid of any responsibility they ever have. That is what you have to distance yourself from. And that is the message we're seeing multiple times throughout this week's Parsha. Thank you very much for listening. Wow. Thank you.